the sound of your city. CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
And it's the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. We are on facebook.com/ The Taylor Report. And we are also on soundcloud.com/ Taylor-Report. Of course, we're following the matter to do with Paul Rusesabagina. And this is October, of course, so it's time to put this in historical context, the situation of Paul, who is, of course, featured in the film Hotel Rwanda, his story. He is now in custody in Rwanda, and we're all concerned about his situation. One of the features we've been looking at, one of the issues, is that there was no attempt by the government of Rwanda to legally bring him to Rwanda for the charges they want to bring against him. And they, as had been pointed out by many lawyers, if they had a case, as stated here by Human Rights Watch, they said the lack of lawful extradition proceedings suggests that Rwandan authorities don't believe their evidence would stand up to independent scrutiny. I'm sure we all agree with that. And it is why, and we should be focused on the question of his citizenship and the protections most governments give to their citizens, primarily by inquiry as to the process by which they find themselves in any court in the world. And this is particularly important now to double down on, I would say, because Paul Rusesabagina is a Belgian citizen. He's also a legal resident of the United States. In the case of Belgium, as we stated last week on the show, and we're going to keep repeating, Belgium gave him refugee status because they recognized that, yes, indeed, he had good grounds for fearing for his life in Rwanda. That was his original status, and then he became a citizen. And now, of course, we're all asking that Belgium do its duty by their citizen. And I think a troubling development should be pointed out here. The prosecutor general of Rwanda, at a press conference, he made a statement on 5th of October, and it has been covered by the media, that they intend to have a joint trial of Paul Rusesabagina and others. I think 16 in all would be. And of course, since after all, they already have people in custody, and they have obtained guilty pleas from some, at least that's what's reported. You could say this story is rather nicely framed for Paul to be in this situation. But in making the statement that they're going to try put all 16 together, a joint trial, the prosecutor says that they are grateful to Belgium, and that the Belgium has assisted them, which is something I don't think is widely known, recognized. They thank Belgium for responding. This is the way it's stated. Thank our counterparts in Belgium for responding to our request for international judicial cooperation to conduct a search of Mr. Rusesabagina's residence. The evidence collected during this search will be presented in court. So in other words, as I understand it, that means that they went into his home in Belgium. This kind of underlines the fact that there is a failure of on the part of Belgium, and certainly the United States, to do their duty by citizen and legal resident. And we should be watching this very closely. We have to comment on it, in my opinion. And I mentioned that this is October, and it's time to be put a context to this matter, in that October 1st, 1990 was when the so-called Rwandan Patriotic Front invaded Rwanda from neighboring Uganda, and all the commanding officers and troops were part of the Ugandan army. And so also we should be reminded that the president of Uganda, Mr. Museveni, denied any knowledge and claimed to have no sympathy or interest, blah blah. But in fact it was a Ugandan backed operation throughout, and it began in October 1990. And if you read Judy Reaver's book, In Praise of Blood, it's nicely documented. I raise it because the attacks that they made led to the displacement of large portions of the Rwandan population of the north. They were primarily Hutu, though that's not the most important matter. They were driven out. In the process, civilians were killed in large numbers by the Rwandan Patriotic Front soldiers. Now, it's really striking. There was a legal government, a sovereign government, defending itself from this invasion. Their neighbor, Uganda, lied in saying that they hadn't been anything to do with them, though generals from their army, Mr. Kagame being a general, Ugandan general, chief of intelligence, with a bad reputation, for them to go through this act. The whole Western colonial imperial world has been playing little games with us about this from the beginning, and we really have to call this out and point out, because here's Mr. Rusesabagina, a non-combatant who spoke out about oppression in his country, and there were and have been combatants at various times, really, of course, throughout modern history in Rwanda. And when there was the RPF invading in 1990, and from that date on, they had spokespersons in Western capitals. They were quite welcome. And they were permitted to pass off expertise, false information, propaganda, whatever you want to call it. And everybody thought that was fine and dandy. And the sovereign government of Rwanda at that time asked for respect for international law and its right to protect itself. And all the capitals, Paris, London, Washington, were deaf to the requests from that government. It's just, to my mind, an important context. But here we are in a situation where the prosecutor of Rwanda says that Belgium helped in gathering information. And Belgium, meanwhile, is claiming they are not really party to any of this, and they, you know, they're doing all the right things. In fact, they're not. Anyway, this is CIUT, the Taylor Report, and I want to move on to another matter, which is, in my mind, very important, and that is that we're living in a propaganda time where now anything can be said about China and it'll be believed, because those who use the media to demonize have been very successful, to the point where this laughable character, Mr. Pompeo, Secretary of State, everybody says he's laughable, but then everybody repeats what he says. So he's been slandering the government of China, and speaking of the Uyghur population of Western China, he says women are subjected to forced abortion, forced sterilization, and China continues its crackdown on the freedoms of expression and association. So the Chinese have made an answer, and it's a short one. I'm going to read it. This is another lie fabricated by Mr. Pompeo. The Chinese government attaches importance to protecting women's rights and faithfully implement the Convention of the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. There's been a notable improvement in women's political status, education level, health conditions, women's rights, including freedom of expression and association, are safeguarded in accordance with law. The so-called forced sterilization on Uyghurs is completely unfounded. The Chinese government protects the rights and interests of all ethnic minorities in equal measure with preferential policies toward minority groups, including Uyghurs. From 2010 to 2018, the Uyghur population in Xinjiang grew from 10.17 million to 12.7 million, an increase of 2.5 million or 25% higher than the region's overall growth of 13.99%, much higher than the 2% of the ethnic Han population. These facts and data fully expose Pompeo. In direct contrast, U.S. has yet to clarify the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. Women in the U.S. still face systemic, prevalent, and institutional discrimination and threat. In the U.S., women are 21 times more likely to die by firearm homicide than women in other high-income countries. Up to 70% of women have experienced physical and/or sexual violence from an intimate partner, and nearly a quarter of undergraduate women said they have been the victim of sexual assault or misconduct since entering college. Has Pompeo already forgotten the Me Too movement initiated by women in the U.S. years ago? With regard to genocide, due to the United States government's massive expulsion, assimilation, and killing policies, the population of Native Americans nosedived from 5 million to 250,000. That is the very definition of genocide. On racism, has Pompeo already forgotten about Black Lives Matter? Facts are facts. The international community will not be fooled by the lies of Pompeo. I agree with that. Anyway, this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM, and we'll be with you next week.
Bringing you 60 minutes every hour, 24 hours a day, but not without you. Visit CIUT.FM and donate. With the seasons changing, so too does your wardrobe, your food, even your clock. But do not, I repeat, do not change that dial. 89.5 FM, your hibernation station, and always the sound of your city. Donate at CIUT.FM.